As we get underway this morning, let me invite you to take your Bible, please, and open with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, this morning. This morning, as we come to our time in the Word of God, I want to consider what I've entitled the building and maintaining of godly homes. There's a great responsibility for all of us who name the name of Christ to build our lives and build our homes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke last week of the wise and the foolish builder on Sunday evening in relation to our study of the parables. I believe that God has given us a blessed privilege that He established for us the family. He said it is not good for a man to be alone, and for that man He made a helpmeet, one perfectly suitable for him and for his needs. And I believe that God today is still seeking to build and to establish godly homes. Yet we have an enemy that is seeking to undermine all that God calls good. And he is getting a foothold in many lives and in many families. This morning, I want you to look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to begin just by reading verse 10 and 11, and then we're going to turn to another passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We understand that within our homes, a foundation has been laid with Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to properly build upon the foundation already laid. So this morning I want to look and consider again how we build and how we maintain godly homes. And we're going to turn to Psalm 127 this morning. Psalm 127. I'm going to invite you to turn there if you would. Psalm 127 has often been called a family psalm. And it's a psalm that helps us to see some wonderful foundational and fruitful truths concerning our family. Psalm 127, follow along as I read, and then we'll have a word of prayer. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you today that we're able to come and gather together to study the truth of the Word of God. Father, that we would know how to build and maintain godly homes. Father, all of our homes are at different stages. There are some who are in the beginning stages, some who are partway through, some halfway through, some who've been married for quite a long time. But Father, no matter where we are, the reality is we are still to be building and maintaining a good and a godly home that sets the right example for all who will watch and see. Father, we ask and pray that you would teach us from your word and help us today. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 127 is titled one of the Songs of Degrees. The Songs of Degrees were used by the people of Israel as they would travel up to Jerusalem for the various feast days. This particular psalm seems to indicate that its first intent was advice from a father to a son. This psalm was written by David, and I believe it was written for his beloved son and future king, Solomon. As a father, we understand that David failed in many aspects of his life. You can go and read the story of David, and you're going to find some of the most glaring of failures of humankind. David was not a man who was perfect, but David was a man who did a few things very well. He had a heart for God. And one of the things that David did, I believe, very well is that he left good instruction for his son, Solomon, the future king of Israel. And no doubt, as we come to the psalm, we're going to find application that not only includes instruction for Solomon with regards to his future reign, but we're going to find instruction for all of us as we seek to handle and deal with and work within our own families. I want you to consider with me the instruction that's recorded for us as we seek to understand how we build and how we maintain godly homes. If we're going to build upon the foundation that's already been laid, then you and I must first of all understand that there is a foundation laid by the Lord, and our family, our lives, must have the right perspective. And that perspective, first of all, is a foundational perspective. We need to ensure, first of all, that we have taken the time to consider the foundation upon which we build our homes, and whether or not our homes are being built on a biblical perspective. Everything else that we do, or anything apart from what the Bible teaches, folks, will lead to failure. We talked about the wise man, or then the foolish man who built their houses. Those who build it on the right foundation will find their house to stand. But those who refuse to hear the word of God and apply it are building their lives upon the sand. And the test comes for all, and their house will crumble. We need to have a foundational perspective. And the first part of a right biblical perspective includes Jesus Christ. Our home must be built with God's involvement. Any family that is built apart from God is not going to stand the test of time. I want you to see what verse 1 says to us. Verse 1 teaches us the dependence on divine involvement. Look what it says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build, we labor in vain who build it. You and I, if we're going to build and maintain godly homes, and that home is going to be built properly and then kept over time, that means that we must have God's involvement in our family. We must be dependent upon the Lord. No home, no godly home is built except the Lord Himself be in it. Jesus Christ must be the center of all that we do in our home. That means He needs to be the center of your marriage relationship. He needs to be the center of all that you do in the training of children. And by the way, let me apply this to you, please. Whether that be the training of your children or your training of your grandchildren, the Lord needs to be involved. I'll be honest with you, one of the things that amazes me more than ever is this truth. Sometimes, as people get older, they begin to mellow. And that's not a bad thing. Sometimes, though, grandparents change the very positions they once held to, and they change the whole concept of what is good parenting. Now, I'm sure none of you would ever do that at all. I'm sure you're just as strict with the grandkids as you were with your own kids. I'll never forget the day that my mom kind of said something to me one day. She says, you know, you ought to take it a little easy on them. They don't always need to be disciplined. I said, you know what? It's funny. You seem to delight in bending me over the couch and letting me know that I was wrong. Why change your perspective now? If there's a way to train a child according to the Scripture, there's a way we ought to train them in every generation. The counsel that we would give to our own kids ought to be the counsel that we would give to our own grandkids. And the Lord has to be involved. He has to be the center of all of those things. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain who build it. I want you to notice something with me. We have our labors. We have our responsibilities within our homes. Except the Lord be in it, though, our labors are in vain. You and I need to ensure that Jesus Christ is in the center of all that we do. Understand, as you build your home, it is not by your human understanding alone that we're going to be able to bring up a godly generation. God must be in it. It is not by your wisdom that you will figure out your spouse, that you will figure out their problems and have a good marriage. Your marriage can only be strong if God is the center of your home and the center of your relationship. It is not by your ingenuity that you're going to figure out how to provide for the needs of your family. God has to be the one who is there in your home. If we leave God out of the home and we're not dependent upon Him, then we are not going to build a godly home. We're going to be building on the wrong foundation. And our efforts will be in vain. But folks, that's true for the building of a home, and it's true for the maintaining of a home. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. He has to be involved in the maintaining of our home. Statistically, most people do not make it past 13 years of marriage. Why is it that so many married couples decide to walk away? Because they just can't seem to work it out. Because, folks, God's not involved within their home and in their married life. And by the way, the statistics are no different for the saved than the unsaved. Why is it that so many can turn away from a marriage that they've been in for so many years and just walk away, saying, we just can't get along, we can't work it out? Because God's not the center of their home. Why is it that so many parents seem to throw their hands up in the air and say, you know what, I might as well just stop praying for them. I just can't seem to get through to my kids. There's no sense making an effort any longer. Because God stopped being the center of their homes. Except the Lord build it, except the Lord keep it, our efforts are in vain. Your home and my home needs the perspective that we are dependent upon that which is divine. We're dependent upon God. I want to ask you a question this morning in your home. Are you willing to do what the Bible says you should do in your family? Are you willing to let Christ be the center of the home? Are you willing to let God in that your home might be built and maintained? I want you to understand this truth this morning. What God builds, God blesses. I want you to catch that. What God builds, He blesses. But when the Lord is out of the picture, our work might be in vain. There is a dependence on divine involvement. Second, there is a deprivation of human effort. Look at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. In verse 2, we have a picture painted for us of a man that is building his home with all the wrong materials. He is one who rises up early, who stays up late, but he is seeking material gain, not spiritual blessing. Let me ask you a question, man. What's the motivation for your home? What's the goal that you have for your family? Are we seeking after worldly pleasure? Are we seeking after ease, or are we seeking after the Lord and His blessing? In Matthew chapter 7, as we considered last week, there were two different perspectives for a home. You can build your house upon a rock, or you can build your house upon the sand. Those who build upon the sand are going to find their home to crumble. The one in verse 2 is one who is building for all the wrong reasons. He is building and seeking and maintaining and motivated in all the wrong ways. He is rising early, staying up late. He is knowing of sorrow that he might have the things of this world. You know what? That man might build a beautiful home. And by the way, you can build a beautiful home without God involved. That home might be the envy of every home in the neighborhood. Your life from the outside might be looked upon and say, boy, I wish I had that life. I wish I had their ease. I wish I had their happiness. On the outside, it all might look great. But except the Lord's involved in it, and you and I trust in Him for our families, our labors are in vain. The home itself will crumble. When Christ is not the one on whom we build, things begin to fall apart. I've mentioned this to you before, but I think many parents and grandparents are doing their children a disservice by seeking to provide for them a better life than what they once knew, instead of seeking to ensure them a stronger spiritual life. I've often said it this way, you've heard it, and some of you have taken it to heart. We don't need to be as concerned about leaving behind an earthly inheritance as we should be about leaving behind a spiritual heritage. Now, the reality is that some of your generations to follow you aren't real happy with me right now, because again, some of you have taken that to heart. And that's a good thing. It is better for us to leave behind a spiritual heritage than just earthly things. Because someday, folks, someone's taking it anyway. All that you own and all that you possess one day will belong to somebody else. And even if no one else takes it and it sits there in vain, one day it will burn with a fervent heat. It will be gone. Nothing will remain. We have to be concerned that we're building our homes properly. We need to have the right perspective, one that is dependent upon God and one that sets aside our own human effort. But we not only need to have a foundational perspective, I want you to see there's a fruitful perspective beginning in verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The second part of the perspective is not only foundational, but fruitful. I want you to see, first of all, verse 3 speaks about a blessed reward. It begins by telling us that children are an heritage of the Lord. I want to say this to you at the outset, verse 3. It is God who determines our blessings. It is God who determines whether or not children are brought into the homes. To some homes, God is content to leave them complete in the husband and wife. To other homes, He establishes that they are to have children and He blesses them with children. But in both cases, it is God who determines their blessing. And by the way, there is blessing either way, because your home is complete on the day that you were married. When God took two and made him one, he established a home. Children are an heritage of the Lord. God is the one who determines how His heritage or His inheritance is divided out. But they are His. That's important. They are a blessed reward. And if God chooses to bless our home with children, then it's important that we understand who these children are. Number one, they are His heritage. The word heritage there is a word that speaks of our inheritance. It means that they belong to Him and they are gifted to us. You don't earn an inheritance. It is something given to you. Our children are not ours. They are the Lord's heritage, and He has entrusted them to us. You've heard me say this before, but folks, I say it because I really do believe it. Children are temporary. God gives them to us for a time. And He gives us a responsibility towards them. They are His. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. Sometimes we go through the process of child dedication, baby dedications, and parents will come and they'll stand before a congregation such as ours, and they will say, this child was given to us and we believe that this child belongs to the Lord, and we in essence want to give that child back to Him and do our part that we might raise them in a godly way. That's good, because children are the Lord's. And do whatever your family has been given in the means of children, remember they are God's. They belong to Him. It is ours to now train them and teach them. They are also His reward. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Can I remind you of something? Children are a blessing. They are never a burden. They're His reward. It's a blessing. They are not a burden. Now, I realize that when you haven't slept for 3, 4, 5 days in a row, you can begin to think that child's quite the burden. But they are not a burden. Children are a blessing. They are His reward. Now look at verse 4. It speaks of a blessed responsibility. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. When we consider children as they are given by God, His heritage and His reward, we understand that those to whom He gives, they have a responsibility towards them. Verse 4 tells us that children are to be arrows in the hands of a mighty archer. Now, arrows are created with a specific purpose. And one of the things you learn about using a bow and an arrow is that you want to be very careful where you aim, because it's not as easy to reload and shoot again. If you've ever done any hunting with a rifle, you realize you can pull a trigger and you can get another bullet in there pretty quickly. When you hunt with a bow and arrow, number one, you're a little bit closer and you really only get one shot, and you want to make sure it counts. My brother got me into archery years ago, and he began to teach me how to shoot. And one of the things that you learn is that you have to be pretty precise when you use a bow and an arrow. You know, if you're a mighty man who is at war, and you're one of the archers, you're not just going to fling out those arrows in any random way, but you're going to be very specific, because, folks, you only have so many arrows, and you only have so many opportunities. And you want to use each and every one well. A skilled archer knows how to aim the arrows that they might hit the target. Parents, you and I are called archers. Our children are arrows. God has a specific plan and a specific purpose for them. And we are to train them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You know what the word train means? It doesn't mean just teach. Give them the basic ideas. It means literally, folks, to narrow them down. For what purpose? That they hit the intended mark. See, you can choose to live on the broad road, or you can live on the narrow road. You can kind of approach the Christian life in the broad perspective. It doesn't matter how we go. It doesn't matter how we live. We'll just be happy and serve God and everything. Or you can narrow down and accomplish God's purpose for your life. And folks, the reality is we are to take children and we are to narrow their path that they accomplish God's specific plan and purpose for their life. They are arrows in the hands of a skilled archer. We are not to frivolously just bring them up that they could enjoy all of the benefits of life and give them a better life. We are to train them in how they're supposed to live for the glory of God. You know what that requires? Mom and Dad, it requires much prayer. It requires proper nurturing and proper admonition. There's discipline, there's love, there's teaching, there's showing them by way of example. It is praying over them. It is helping them. It is giving them godly counsel as they get older. But we want to narrow them that they might accomplish God's plan for them. But then I want you to notice, finally, a blessed result. Look at verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. As children are properly understood and therefore properly trained, they become to a family a blessing and not a blight. For the parents, their children should not cause them to be ashamed. Godly parents and godly homes that are built upon a proper foundation will produce children that will be happiness and not heartaches. They should be our delight. But folks, that only happens when we build our home upon the right foundation. Now, some of you might ask the question, well, Pastor, what do I do? You know, we're further along in our process and maybe some things aren't going quite as well as they should. You know, you can always go back and repair a foundation. It might take a little bit of effort. It's going to take some work. It's going to take a willingness to humble yourself before family and begin to pray much. But the reality is we can come in and we can shore those things up and we can begin to make the right changes that we need to. We have to continue to build and maintain godly homes. And with that, there's a blessed result. Every home, I think, wants to be known as a good home. And I think probably most of our homes will be known as good homes. I ask you to consider this. Is your good home a godly home? There is a difference between the two. The devil wants us focused on the fact that all you need to do is build a good home. He's trying to bring confusion into it. God wants you to build a godly home. One that's built on the Lord Jesus Christ on the right foundation. One that's dependent upon God. One that takes away our own just human effort. We have our part. But God must be involved. We can't set God aside from our family. We can't set scriptural truth aside and live according to our worldly philosophy and expect our homes to be right. What did the Lord Jesus say? Who was the wise builder? He that heareth my words and accepts them. He who hears my word and acknowledges that it's true. No, that might build a good home. But a godly home is he who hears my words and does them. They apply them. God is the center of the home. If you want a good and godly home, then sir and ma'am, you have to have God the center of your marriage relationship. Jesus Christ must be the focus. It must be that you delight yourself also in the Lord, knowing that He'll give you the desires of your heart. That you'll commit your way unto Him, trusting in Him, and He will establish it. That in your relationship as husband and wife, you will trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not leaning to
to your understanding or to worldly philosophies and sociologist views of your home.
By the way, I just read an article this week on a blog that basically written by a sociologist who says this: affairs are good for a marriage. They ought to be encouraged. We should embrace them. I thought, what a fool. That's how our world, folks, thinks. That if you want a healthy marriage, let's encourage us to cheat on our spouses and be open about it. You realize that the main reason for a divorce just so happens to be infidelity? It hasn't been helping all along. How's it going to help now? And yet, she's supposedly a very bright PhD. She ain't all that smart. Because it's not hard to look and to see what'll destroy a marriage. And yet, that's the world's philosophy. So how are you going to build your home? Trusting in the Lord and His Word? Or trusting in what the world tells you you ought to do? How are you going to raise and bring up your children and rear them according to the Word of God? Or according to what the world has to say? By the way, studies have just come out which say that the reason children are violent in our society is because that they have been spanked. You know why children are violent in our society today? Because they can go buy any video game they want and it has violence all over it. They can shoot up and kill everybody that they want. They're allowed to go in and watch movies, and what used to be rated R is now rated PG. And it's filled with violence and gore. We have so saturated their minds with violence that they have become violent. Oh, and by the way, we've also added to that an unwillingness to discipline and train them in what's right. You know, it's not right, little Johnny, to hit little Sally. Oh, little Johnny's just expressing himself. Well, he ought to express himself some way else, but he ought to keep his hands off little Sally. That's why we have violence. It's not because a parent properly disciplines a child in the spirit of love. It's because we put before them a society of violence, and we embrace violence and wonder why that they're expressing themselves in the means of violence. Folks, we have to get back to building our homes and training our children according to the Word of God. Except the Lord build a house. We who labor, we labor in vain. Except the Lord keep that home. We can wait and we can watch, but we'll do so in vain. Because God must be involved. You can build your home on all the wrong foundations. You can rise up early and you can stay up late. You can toil and you can sweat. But if God is not there, you're on the sand. It will erode and your house will crumble. Oh, it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but it will come. And the greater the house, the greater the fall of it. Let's build and maintain good and godly homes. Let's pray together, please.